So welcome to the Tesla Management 360 session, where I will show you a little bit how to manage real Tesla cars with all the cool technologies that is available out there, like System Center, Azure, PowerShell, Cortana, whatever is out there. So you can use everything. And I will show you a little bit how this works, so how you can connect to a car, how you can use these different technologies, and also how they somehow interact together, so how you can collect information in one tool and bring it over to another tool and things like that. So pretty not-so-business-related stuff, but still something that you can take with you, back home with you, and somehow translate it to something more business-related. Good. My name Marcel Zenner. I'm from Switzerland, and I've done this presentation like 10 times around the world. And yeah, it's always lots of fun. People normally like the session, and it's great to see such a big crowd here. So yeah, what it's all about, I already mentioned that. So I will show you the different technologies that are available out there and how they work together in not so business related scenario. And I will also give you some Tesla insights so that you understand how this works and how the tools are used to extract information from the car and make it visible in some ways. So why using Tesla? It's very simple. I'm a technology guy. I'm a geek. I would say I'm a geek. And I like cars as well. And for me, it's very important to know that you guys know that I don't get any money from Tesla or any cars from Tesla for doing this. So it's really just because I like to do those kind of things. So now, do we have someone that is driving a Tesla? Not yet. Good. Okay. By the way, everything I will show you now, I will demonstrate that by using two real cars. So unfortunately, we couldn't bring in the cars here to this conference room, but I will still do all the demos by using two real cars that are located at some secret location somewhere. Good. Now, if you get your car after some weeks of waiting, one of the first things that you mentioned is that your car is always connected to the internet. So it's delivered with a SIM card, and it's always talking back to Tesla. Why that? First, to send over data from your car to Tesla, so like alerts, like information about the battery usage and things like that. And the same channel is also used for Tesla to push down information to your car. And this is normally used for updates. So if you drive a Tesla, you normally get updates every now and then. It's really like having a computer where it says, update, do you want to install it? Sure, go for it. And the next day, you use your car, you have some new features, which is actually pretty cool. Good. Now, if you receive the Tesla, you also create a Tesla account. Actually, you have to create an account to order your Tesla. So it's really weird, because you go to a website and order a car that's probably pretty expensive by just filling out the form and click submit, and you will receive a car someday. So that's really nice. And once the car is delivered, this specific car is connected to your Tesla account. So that means that you can go to a website, log in, and get some information about the car, about the status, about the software version that you're running on your car, and things like that. Now, what you also get is an app. So there's an app that allows you to somehow connect to your car and display information about battery status, the range, about the inside temperature, whatever. So the app offers quite a lot of information for you. And the app actually does not connect to the car directly, but the app connects to your Tesla account. So the car talks to your account, the app talks to your account, and this is where everything comes together. And you can get out that information. Now, if there's an app that talks to a Tesla account, and that app is is capable of displaying information about the car, there must be some API somewhere. And if there's an API, there are probably other methods as well, how you can connect to that API. And that's actually where we started. So we started by creating a PowerShell module that connects to the Tesla API. And using that API, we can connect to the Tesla account and can do whatever that API exposes to us. So that's pretty cool. Now, just a quick look behind the scenes to make sure you understand how this works. So when you enter the car, you have this huge screen in the middle, the 17-inch screen where you control everything. So there, you will not find many buttons in a Tesla, so you control everything using that screen, which is pretty cool. And this runs on a modified version of Linux. And of course, you cannot access that box that's sitting in the car to modify that operating system. Then you have the so-called dashboard screen, which sits in front of your steering wheel, which is a separated box. Well, up there you can see the speeds, the battery usage, you can place apps there, so whatever you like. Same thing, Linux box, completely separated from the big screen. And the complete car control, so the main car controls that make sure that your car can move, is again completely separated from those two Linux boxes. So that's important to know. And normally, you cannot access those car controls that are written in Z, so they are very good protected. But I learned that it could be hacked, so... Well, that's not my car. That's very important. So I found some pictures on the internet. So you could do this and somehow access the car like that, get deeper access to the system. And I learned yesterday that there's a guy that now has root access to everything that lives in the car, allows him to install like his own console and things on the screen, or even something like that. I love you, Mom. Good. Possible, but we're not talking about those kind of things. Now, before we get started with the demo, this is also something really funny that I experienced myself. So I had this weird alert one day in the car that just didn't go away anymore. So I was pretty sure that there is no real alert, but I just couldn't click it away, so it was just staying there forever, and yeah, it was just horrible. So I called Tesla support and asked them, please, can you help me out? Sure. Did you stop the car and got back in and restarted the car? Sounds like IT. Well, yes, I did that already twice or three times. The alert is still there. And then the service desk agent asked me a question that surprised me at least a little bit. Was like, did you already reboot the systems? I was like, oh, how does that work? And actually, you can reboot the systems. I created a quick video. So this is the dashboard screen, just to give you a little bit of experience here. And the big 17-inch screen where you can control everything. So like the air condition or, yeah, whatever, cold weather control, do some fine-tuning, things like that. And there's this secret combination of buttons on the steering wheel that you need to press for a specific amount of seconds. And if you do that, you will discover that the big screen now is rebooting. It turns to black. Oh, it's gone. And it's now rebooting. Wow, so it's coming back. And the same is actually true for the center screen as well. So for the dashboard screen, you can also reboot that. And once I rebooted the two systems, the alert was definitely gone. So that was pretty cool. But still surprising, surprising. Let me check if it's going back. Going away, and it will come back after a second. Good. Now let's jump into the demo. So as I mentioned, the first thing you need, of course, to do everything else is you need the PowerShell module. And a friend of mine came up with this module, more or less finished, and told me, here's a PowerShell module. You can connect to your Tesla car with that and do some cool things. So let me show you that. There you go. Import module Tesla. And the first thing I need to do is I need to connect to my Tesla account to access my car. So it asks me for credentials. Oops. Now it will list all my Tesla vehicles in my account. Unfortunately, it's only one. And I can see the different functions now. So like flashlights, get Tesla info, honk horn, lock the car, set the charge limit, so things like that. So let's take this, get Tesla info. So this just collects some information from the car. And by the way, very important, if you have a Tesla, you have to give it a name. So you name your car. Does anyone have a name for his car? No? No one? You? What's the name of your car? No? Okay. So it took me a long time to figure out a good name for my car. My car is actually called The Beast. There we go. The Beast. So now using this this function, you can see that it collects very basic information like what software version am I running? Is the car locked right now? What color is it? Is the valet mode active? I will come back to that later. What about the different doors? Are these guys closed or not? And yeah, where it's located. So this car is sitting back in Switzerland. And very important, it's headed northeast, just in case I need to know that. Yeah, then information about the climate state and things. So that's all there. So pretty cool thing. So I took a look at this PowerShell module that Andre gave me, and I was like, okay, man, if we have a PowerShell module, we can literally do anything. And from my background, I'm a, well, I used to be, or used to work a lot with monitoring. I was like, if you have a car, you need to monitor the car, right? So why not creating a management pack for operations manager to monitor the car? To get all the alerts that you need to be aware of. And that's exactly what I did first. So I used Visual Studio authoring extensions to create a management pack to first discover the car, so that SCOM knows about it, and second, collect information about the car and throw out alerts in specific situations. Well, I'll show you that. So this is SCOM. Do we have SCOM guys here? Okay, so. If I scroll down a little bit here on the left-hand side, I can see Tesla management. And now the first thing to know is, because we don't have access to the Linux boxes that live in the car, we cannot install any kind of SCOM agent there. So we need to find a different way to somehow monitor the car. And what I did is I just used a approach in SCOM to define a Windows server as the so-called Tesla management server. So it's just a regular Windows server that will connect up to my Tesla account, collect information, and then throw out an alert if needed. So that's the management server. The first thing the management server does is it needs to discover the Tesla cars that live in my account. And for that, I have my Tesla cars view. You can again see the beast is there with some basic information about the car. This information was discovered by the management server by connecting through the API to my Tesla account, created the beast object in SCOM, and once this is ready, we can now start monitoring the car. Now what happens? So these are just some alerts that, actually, if I refresh, there should be some more. No? Okay, that's fine. So, for instance, it's coming back. Sorry for that. So, temperature is too high. So, at a specific point in time, it was 28 degrees, which is too high for me. So I want SCUM to tell me that it's too high so that I can start the air condition early enough so that then when I enter the car that it's a little bit cooler. And of course, the same is true if it's too cold, also very important. We had some cold days in Switzerland back the last weeks. And of course, also when the battery range is low so that I know it's getting critical. I should load the car, give it some more power. This is also needed. And then I already mentioned the valid mode, which is also a very cool thing because it's really used for valet parking. So if you go to a hotel or something and you give your car in the hands of others, you want to make sure that they, well, don't use the car in a way that they shouldn't, right? It's pretty fun to drive this car. It has like 700 horsepower. In the center screen that I showed you, you have lots of private information, like where you live. You can open the garage doors from there and things like that. So I want to make sure that someone that should take your car to a parking lot doesn't do other things. And this is valid mode for. It also restricts the maximum temperature, the maximum speed of the car to like 110 kilometers an hour. It reduces the horsepowers to a very limited number. I don't know the exact number. And it also makes sure that no one can access personal information on the center screen. So it's good for valet parking. It's also good if you hand over the car to your wife if she wants to go shopping. Probably better to enable valid mode. So valid mode is there. Also, if this is active, it just gives me some information that it's still there. Good. So that's alerts. Now, another thing I want to make sure that I have in SCUM is performance data. So I want to collect performance data over time. And for that, I also collect specific information. Let me make that a little bit bigger. So for instance, the inside temperature over time. So that's the temperature from the last 7 days. So that you can just see we had a rise of temperature here. Yeah, so that could be interesting. Same thing is true for battery range. Ooh, long time no load. It's going down a little bit. Or also for valid mode. You can see I enabled it specifically for this demo, that you can see that this also throws out an alert. Good, now quick background, how this was built. As I mentioned already, I used the Visual Studio authoring extensions to build that solution. I will not go into super details here, because it might not be that interesting for people that do not work with us as SCUM. But first of all, I needed to define my car class. So before I can start creating a car object in SCUM, I need to define how this class looks like, what properties this class has. And this is actually what I configured. So I just gave the class a name and added some properties. And of course, now as that SCUM is capable to create those kind of objects in the SCUM database, we need to discover Tesla cars. And for that, I use a discovery script that is based on the PowerShell module that you just saw before. So this actually does nothing but connect to the API, checks out what car exists in that specific Tesla account, and then create the objects in the SCUM database. I have a second script, more or less the same thing, also connects to the API, but the script does not discover the car, but it collects information. So like, what's the battery range right now? Do we have valid mode enabled right now? Things like that. and stores that information in SCUM as well, and will create alerts based on some SCUM rules that also live in this management pack. Good. Let's take a look at a rule. For instance, to let's grab this one. Collect battery range. So in here, what happens is it's a rule. This rule runs from time to time. You can see the interval here. So it runs every 5 minutes. And this rule actually uses a so-called data source module. And in this data source module, I have this script attached. So in the data source module describes how the script is executed and what it does with the return values that are coming back. What we do here is then I define a condition detection module, which means, okay, in that case, take the battery range value and compare it to some other value, to a threshold. And if we are below a threshold, throw out a warning alert with some text. This is what happens here. What you can also see here is this. I created two write action modules to forward that information to OMS. Is anyone aware of OMS? Okay. So in OMS, we have a feature called Log Analytics. And what you can do if you run a SCUM infrastructure, you can connect your SCUM infrastructure directly to OMS Log Analytics. That means information about alerts, critical alerts, warning alerts are forwarded to OMS, where you can then work a little bit more flexible with the collected data. This does indeed not work for performance collections. So if you use SCUM to collect performance data, that performance data is not automatically forwarded to OMS. And this is why I use a write action module here to inform the system, please also forward this specific information to OMS because I want to have it up there as well. Give you a quick insight here. If I go to the admin settings, in my SCUM console, I can see a section called Operations Management Suite, and from here, I can just configure this connection. And it's pretty simple, actually. I just enter my OMS workspace credentials, and in a second step, I just need to select the systems that I want to forward information to OMS. So let's switch over to OMS then. That's my OMS dashboard, and it's actually pretty slim because the only solution I installed here is the alert management solutions because I only use it for this specific demo, so there's nothing else in there. Normally, if you're using OMS, you would have much more of these so-called solution tiles, but in here I only have alert management. So this tells me in the last 24 hours I had one critical alert and 8 warning alerts. And if I click on it, I will get detailed information. And in here, I will see that I received 24 valid mode alerts in the last 24 hours and 2 inside temperature, too low or too high. I cannot see it in detail here. So this information now lives in OMS as well. And if I go to the log search, I can dig deeper into that data. So log search means I can now use specific queries to analyze all the data that lives in OMS. So for instance, if I just go here, I have my search query up there and just enter Tesla, it will look for all the collected events that contain the word Tesla. And as you can see, it's 3,000 results. In the last day, you can go back, let's say, 7 days here. It's like 10,000 events that I collected for my car in the last 7 days, which is a good number. On the right-hand side, I can see all the details. So for every event, I can see I have a time generated, I have the computer that generated that specific event, I can see the event type. Is it a performance event that collects some kind of performance information, or is it an alert or something else? Now I can start filtering down all those 30K values by using a filter. I could either enter the filter directly in the search window here, or I can use just my mouse and click some options I have available here. So for instance, if I'm only interested in alerts, I just click alert, apply, and now you can see that it just adds type equals alert to my query. And now I know I will only have Tesla-specific alerts that are visible here. I can change the view to a table just to give a little bit of a nicer view here. And of course, I can still dive into the different events that were collected by clicking on Show More. And from here, I can see that, for instance, get the alert description information. Plus, in the alert context, I have all the information that were collected to create this alert. So we have lots of information that live in that specific event. Well, let's say we go back to the query and use the perf type. Perf means performance data. I now only want to see performance data from my car. And again, I can see which computer registered that event. This is again the Tesla management server. You can see the object, it's the beast. Counter name, Tesla, instance name is odometer. So odometer actually shows the number of kilometers in total that the car was driven. And I can see the value. But again, this, I mean, the information is there, but it's not really usable here. But now, as this is performance data, I have this metrics option here. And if I click on this, I will now see more or less the same information as we just discovered in SCOM, but now this time I have it in OMS, and I can again start working with that data. Can also expand that to get more insights here. Collapse it again. In this example, you can see that the temperature is not measured all the time. So from time to time, to save a little bit of battery, Tesla will not submit all information to the Tesla account continuously. Okay, now what we can do in OMS Log Analytics, if you have your queries created and you think this is a cool thing, you can save your queries so that you can just reuse them by a simple click. So for that, I can just hit save, give this query a name, and use a category, which is more or less something like a group, just to group the same queries somehow together. And when you want to reuse them, just click on favorites, and on the right-hand side, I have all my saved queries. For instance, for Tesla battery or Tesla general or something. And all those saved queries can now be used to create your own dashboard. So if I go back to the landing page of OMS, I have this My Dashboard icon. And if I click on there, I now have my very specific Tesla dashboard that I want to have on my big screen in my office to always know if something happens. So in here, I can see, did we have, let's say, kind of temperature too low alerts in the last hour, or battery range too low alerts in the last hour. Again, battery range, inside temperature, the alert history, things like that. And what you can only see is this, or also see, sorry, appearance count by location. So what does that mean? That means I want to make sure that I know where my car is in every point in time. So I can go to a map and spot it somewhere. And I know, okay, it's in Switzerland, it's at that specific location. This is also done in SCOM. So SCOM will collect the car location every 5 minutes as well. And if I quickly switch back to SCOM, maybe you saw it already before. you can see the Tesla car location details, which are collected every 5 minutes. So in here, I can see it's right now standing there. If I scroll down a little bit, yeah, it's just a different address. So in SCOM, we just have that information more or less as a text information. That's not really helpful. In OMS, it's a little bit better, but still, if I use a query to display my locations, what I can use here is I can use measures. In that specific example here, I use a measure count that just counts at what specific location was the car spotted, how many times. And I can see location one, 1,000 times, almost 700 times, and then it's going rapidly down. Now, that makes it a little bit easier to read, but still, first, I cannot in detail tell where was the car yesterday at 5 p.m. And second, overall, the data is not very good for, visibility is very bad. So what you can do in Log Analytics, you have this option here, Power BI, where you can forward data from specific queries to Power BI and work with the data in Power BI. That's what I did here. So I used this exact query and told OMS to forward that data to Power BI. I can quickly show you here. This is where you can see it. So that's my my query. Well, you cannot see the query here. That's just a meaningful name. But you can see that it seems to be the Tesla location information that is forwarded to Power BI every 30 minutes. And from there, I can start working with the data. I can also see if the forward process was successful or if I have some errors for some reason. So the data seems to be there. Now let's take a look at Power BI. Sign in with my org account. Now what actually happens is that I just have a data set in Power BI available that I can work with now. And this data set is filled every 30 minutes with new data. So if I go back here, I can see my data set, Tesla location OMS. So that's the data that is coming from OMS to my Power BI account. And up here, I have access to all the different fields that were forwarded from OMS. Right now, I'm only interested in two fields. So one is the information about the time. So I use the time generated. So in here, you would see that every 5 minutes, I have the car spotted somewhere. And I use the source field to store the information. So it's there. The exact same information that we just saw in OMS. The cool thing here now is I can visualize the data a little bit nicer. So let's try this. Let's add a map. Let's add a map. There you go. Oops. Let me quickly do that again. Time generated and source, because I want to have that information available. Where is it? Source. There we go. And now I add the map just on the right-hand side, make it a little bit bigger. Of course, when I add a map, I need to somehow add location-specific data to the map. And you can see on the right-hand side that there's a location field here where I now just drag the source in. Now, this could take some seconds. Now you can see a cool motion profile of the car. And even better, I can change the size of the different bullets. You can see size here, depending on the amount of the amount of time that the car was spotted somewhere. And there we go. Let me scroll in. So this area is probably where I live and work. And the good thing here is I can click on a bubble, like on this, and on the right-hand side, it will exactly show me the car was spotted at that location at this specific time. Only once here. If I take another one, for instance, maybe say this, I can see at this address it was spotted 33 times, and I can see the details in my list on the left-hand side. The second good thing here is I have two bigger bubbles, like this one, with 2,900 spots, and this one with 1,300 spots. Now guess, one spot is where I live, one spot is where I work. And I live down here. So it's good to show the wife. Look, I'm more of the time I'm at home compared to my appearance in the office. But that's a good thing. I'm sorry?
At least your car sits
home, right? Yeah, it's me as well. You never know. Good. So that's the Power BI thing. Now let's move over to Azure, because when you build solutions today, you have to use Azure, of course. And if I connect to my Azure account here, I created an automation account to use Azure Automation. So I created some runbooks that do some things based on PowerShell with a car. So now, before we dive into the runbooks, I want to quickly cover assets. So if you work with Azure Automation or also SMA, if you work on-premise, you can use variables to store specific information like URLs, server names, credentials outside of your runbook. So just in case they need to be changed someday, you don't have to touch all your runbooks. So in here, I have some variables that I use for the Tesla automation. So things like client secret or client IDs, which are highly confidential, of course. This is why you cannot read them. I have some URLs that I need. This is where the runbooks will connect to. Same thing that the PowerShell module does. And of course, I have the credentials. And now you know from the first screen that I am not Martin Hoot. My name is Marcel. So the cool thing here is that with these runbooks, I connect to a different car that is just around the corner here. So it's on the parking lot outside of the hotel. Because for the more risky parts, I always use a different car. Will not touch my car. So now let's see the runbooks. So I just created some runbooks that do more or less the same that you just saw in the PowerShell module. So I can flash the lights and honk the horn, or start air condition, things like that. Lock the car. You could even, I'm not sure if it's here, to be honest, you could even unlock the car and start the car remotely so that someone can drive without even having a key. Cool thing. And if you heard about one of the latest features that Tesla just brought out, it's called Tesla Summon, where you can summon your car, and it's driving completely driverless. So I don't have this ready yet, but I'm still working on it, because it's a little bit tricky to make that happen by using the API. But I will be there someday. Now let's say I go to flashlights. In here, I can edit my runbook, and again, this might look very familiar. It's just a runbook that first collects the different variables that live in the assets list that I just showed you, and then it will again authenticate against the web API, and in that case not collect information but start kind of a method or invoke kind of a method that will just flash the lights. Let's see how this works. I'll show you afterwards. We'll do a live demo afterwards. Good. And the second thing that you might have discovered is webhooks. Anyone knows what webhooks are? Okay, a few. So webhooks can be used to trigger Azure Automation runbooks from the outside world of Azure. So you can just sit somewhere with an internet access and use a webhook to trigger this specific runbook. So what you can see here is that I created a webhook for all my runbooks. Now, what to use them for? Just a simple example to show how webhooks work. I created, and I'm not a developer, so please no laughings here. I created an app in Visual Studio called the Tesla Control Center. I'll open that. So, there we go. You can see it's called Tesla Control Center based on Azure Automation, and what it actually does, it has some options. Again, same things. I can honk the horn, I can flash the lights, I can unlock the car, things like that. And it actually really only uses the webhook that we just saw to initiate the runbook, and the runbook does all the jobs. So let me quickly honk the horn to scare Martin that's waiting inside the car. So, and this actually will trigger the runbook. Let me quickly check if that is true. Oops, that's the wrong window. Where are we? There we are. So I should now see that the honk horn should have a new job that is running right now. There we go. It's running. It will take some seconds to execute, because what actually happens is, imagine that this works queue-like. So this job goes into a queue until the car picks it up and Tesla account will then execute. And the app itself, I'll also show you, is super simple. So in Visual Studio, you need to know a little bit about XAML. This is super simple. And really, the most time I invested in creating this app is, or was, to find nice icons to make it nice and shiny. Yeah. So, because the logic behind is very simple. So, every of these icons is a button, actually. And if I click the button, something happens. And the code behind here, let me grab one example. Yeah, you can see this. So, it's a method called button start air condition. What happens? And all the magic is in here, because the only thing I do is I invoke the webhook for the specific runbook that will honk the horn, or in that case, start the air condition. And you can see the URL, so the webhook is nothing else but a URL that contains all the information to execute, to authenticate, and to use that runbook. So super simple, super simple. So this is what I had first. I was like, okay, so this is not too bad, but let's go a step further and use a mobile phone to do the same thing. Well, now let me connect to this guy here. Oops. It's dead. There you go. So this is my mobile phone, and in here, I have my so-called home tools. So just to give you a quick information or insights, I have a Tesla Connect app. It's not from Tesla, but from a third-party vendor. I'll now log into my account, and I can use it from here. So again, I can see the name of my car. It's still collecting. It takes a while. I can see the battery range. I can see if it's charging right now. Luckily, it's parked now. That's good. I can see the location, bottom right. I can do the things that you just discovered. So I could open the sunroof, close the sunroof, things like that. Could start the car from here as well. I can change the charge settings if needed. I can start air conditioning from here as well. I could change the temperature depending on my needs. And also important, I can see where my car is. Right now, it's in the office. And just in case I cannot find my car anymore, there's that Me button up there. I just click it, and it will show me where I am to find my way back to my car after a long night or something. There we go. It's quite a distance. Yep. Good. So that's the official app. Now, let me go to my app. Bottom left. I didn't invest time for nice icons here. And this app is called the Beast Control. So on here, I can do more or less the same things again, but this time it's on my mobile phone. So I can just click on, let's say, flashlights. And this works exactly the same way. So it will invoke the Runbook by using a webhook. And the cool thing here is that when you have a mobile app, you can, of course, also use Cortana to execute the different commands. And now let's try if that works. So and for that, we'll just connect to Martin, who's waiting outside. Hopefully, he's still there. Let me see. Hey, Martin. Can you hear that? Okay, we cannot hear you, but we can see the car, so that's fine. So there's a car, and now let me use this. Tesla flashlights.
Starting flashlight sequence. Blink, blink.
So let's do some honk horns again to scare Martin a little bit. So now you will see that it can take up to like 45 seconds until it really executes. Yeah, you see? There we go. So I'm standing in Düsseldorf on a stage using Cortana to talk to a Tesla account that lives somewhere in the cloud. And the information is picked up by a car and it executes. Oh, is that cool? Yeah. Okie dokie. And that's more or less it. So I hope this gave you some insights of what's possible today. If you cannot try it with a Tesla, just think about how all this works together. And these are only some examples like PowerShell, SCOM, OMS, Power BI, Cortana, desktop apps, whatever. Think about what's possible for your scenarios that you're working on. Good. And to close down the session, just as an information, if you like this conference, and I'm pretty sure you do, there will be another conference in Berlin in August. It's a three-day conference where we cover everything, System Center, Azure, Office 365, applications management, so everything that's covered here as well. Check out the website, systemcenteruniverse.eu, and make sure you don't miss the conference. You can also find some flyers just to make sure, grab one of those. And to close down the session, thanks to all the partners and sponsors that make this possible, and I hope you had a good 50-minute session and discovered a little bit about Tesla and things. Thank you.